Chapter 7. The Return Home. On the deck of the pirate ship, the prisoners were in chains so they could not fly away. Wendy was tied to the mast with ropes.
"So, my beauty," Hook said to Wendy, "you are going to see your children walk the plank."
"Are they going to die?" asked Wendy.
"They are," he growled.
Hook took a step towards Wendy. He wanted to turn her face so that she would see the boys walking the plank one by one. But he never reached her. He never heard the cry of despair that he hoped to hear from her. Instead, he heard the terrible tick-tick of the crocodile. The sound came nearer. Everyone realized the same thing. The crocodile was about to get on the ship.
Hook began to shake. "Hide me," he cried.
The pirates stood around Hook to hide him from the crocodile. The boys rushed to the ship's side to see the crocodile climbing in. But they got a surprise, for it was not the crocodile that was coming to help them. It was Peter. He was ticking like the crocodile. On tiptoe, Peter slipped across the deck and disappeared into the ship's cabin. The ticking stopped. A few of the pirates felt brave enough to turn around and look.
"It's gone, Captain," Smee said.
Hook listened. There was not a sound.
"And now for the plank," he cried,
hating the boys more than ever now because they had seen him act so cowardly.
"Do you want the whip before you walk the plank?"
The boys fell to their knees.
"Oh, no,"
they cried.
"Go get the whip, Jukes," said Hook. "It's in the cabin."
The cabin? Peter was in the cabin. The children stared at each other.
"Oi, oi,"
said Jukes, and he went into the cabin. The boys all followed him with their eyes. All of a sudden, a horrible scream came from the captain.
"What was that?" cried Hook.
Another pirate, Keko, hesitated for a moment and then walked bravely into the cabin. He ran out, his face pale.
"What's the matter with Bill Jukes, you coward?"
Hook shouted at him.
"The matter with him is he's dead, stabbed," replied Keko. "Bill Jukes dead?"
cried the shocked pirates.
The cabin's as black as a pit,"
Keko said,
"and there is something terrible in there."
"Keko,"
Hook said in his most commanding voice,
"go back and bring that creature out."
Keko, the bravest of the brave, shook before his captain, crying,
"No, no."
"Did you say you would go, Keko?"
he said, lifting up his hook. Keko, with fear in his eyes, had no choice and slowly walked towards the cabin. Everyone listened, and again they heard a deathly scream.
Hook was furious. "Who is going to bring me that monster?"
There was silence. Grabbing a lantern, Hook said,
"I'll bring out that creature myself."
And he ran into the cabin. A moment later, he ran out without his lantern.
"Something blew out the light," he said.
"What about Keko?"
the pirates demanded.
"He's as dead as Jukes."
Hook's fear of the cabin frightened all the pirates very much. They began to talk about how it must be the devil on board. All pirates are superstitious, after all.
"The ship's doomed,"
shouted all the pirates. The children began to cheer when they heard this. Hook had nearly forgotten about his prisoners, but now he turned towards them and he smiled.
"Here's an idea," he turned to his crew. "Open the cabin door and push the boys in. Let them fight the creature. If they kill him, it's better for us. If he kills them, it will be doing us a favor, too."
The pirates admired Hook for his clever idea. The boys, pretending to struggle, were pushed into the cabin, and the door was closed.
"Now listen," cried Hook,
and all listened, looking in the opposite direction so they wouldn't have to see anything too horrible. Only Wendy, who was still tied to the mast, watched what was going on. In the cabin, Peter had found the key that would free the children from their chains, and now they all secretly left the cabin, armed with all the weapons they could find. First signalling them to hide, Peter ran over and cut Wendy's ropes. When he freed her, he whispered to her to hide herself with the others, and he took her place by the mast, her cloak around him so that he could pretend to be her. Hearing nothing, the pirates thought that all the boys lay dead in the cabin, and they were panic-stricken. Hook tried to give them courage.
"Men," he said, "there's someone on board bringing us bad luck."
"Aye," they growled, "a man with a hook."
"No, lads, it's the girl. There's never luck on a pirate ship with a woman on board. We'll have better luck when she's gone. Throw her overboard,"
cried Hook, and they all rushed towards the figure in the cloak.
"There's no one who can save you now," the pirates laughed.
"There's one," replied the figure.
"Who's that?"
"Peter Pan,"
came the answer, and as he spoke, Peter threw off his cloak. Then they all realized who it had been in the cabin.
"Now, boys!"
Peter's voice rang out, and the boys jumped out and attacked. The boys ran towards the pirates working together. Some of the pirates jumped into the sea, others hid in dark corners, where they were found by the boys and thrown overboard. All the pirates were gone when a group of boys surrounded Hook. But they could not get close to him because he kept a clear space around him with his claw.
"Put away your swords, boys," cried a voice. "This man is mine."
Suddenly Hook found himself face to face with Peter. The others moved back and formed a ring around them. Peter was a superb swordsman, but his shorter height was against him, and he could not manage to stab Hook. Hook, as brilliant a swordsman as Peter, was not quite as fast, but he used his height and weight as an advantage. He tried to use his favourite technique, taught to him long ago by his father, but to his surprise he found that even this did not work. Then he tried to get Peter with his iron hook, but in one clever movement Peter avoided the hook and stabbed Hook in the stomach. At the sight of his own blood, the sword fell from Hook's hand.
"Now!"
cried all the boys, but with a polite gesture Peter invited his enemy to pick up his sword. Hook fought now with every bit of strength he had left, and every attack with the sword would have cut any man or boy in half who stood in its way. But Peter flew around Hook in the air, and again he jumped in and stabbed him. Hook was fighting now without hope. Seeing Peter slowly coming towards him through the air with his sword pointed straight at him, he jumped onto the side of the ship to throw himself into the sea. He did not know that the crocodile was waiting for him, silently, in the water. It had stopped ticking a short time before, when its clock had finally stopped. Hook waited until the last moment, when Peter was rushing right at him. Then he jumped into the depths of the sea without looking, and straight into the crocodile's jaws. When the fight was over, Wendy took the boys into Hook's cabin and pointed to his watch, which was hanging on the wall. She said, 1:30, way past your bedtimes, and put them to bed in the pirate's bunks very quickly. They sailed most of the way back home on the pirate's ship. We don't need to tell you who the captain of the ship was. Halfway home, Captain Pan decided that it would save time to fly the rest of the way. After being away from home for so long, did the children deserve to have the window still open, and their mother and father waiting for them to return? Of course not. But how else could it have been? Mrs. Darling had had many sad days since the children's departure, sitting by the fire in the nursery. One evening, while she was half asleep by the fire, Wendy, John, and Michael